You know, the world right now is a really unsettled place. And for such a time as this, women play a most important role in history as peacemakers. The goal of Ladies of Liberty Sound Off is to affect the lives of women in an empowering way through discussion of important issues of the day. So, are you ready? The Ladies of Liberty are ready to sound off.
Kate Millett was one of the juggernauts of the second wave women's movement that started in about the mid-60s, maybe a little earlier than that. And it included people like Betty Friedan and Gloria Steinem and Angela Davis and all of these fine young women who came out of American universities who decided that their job in life was to destroy Western civilization. I used to attend their NOW meetings, National Organization for Women, as they were founding it, and I would hear their litany of what it was they wanted to accomplish. They wanted to promote promiscuity, eroticism, prostitution, abortion, and homosexuality in order to destroy the family and to destroy Western civilization. Kate Millett was put on the cover of Time magazine and called the Mao Zedong at some times and the Karl Marx at other times of the women's movement. So she was the really strong, powerful, anti-male, let's kill all the men element that came into that movement. I receive letters all the time on my website from various people, and this is a classic. This is a letter from someone in Queens, New York. Marxist feminism, in my opinion, is singularly responsible for not only my family's destruction, but the destruction of countless others and the entire society around me. And yet no one talks about it. Everyone promotes and venerates it like it's this wonderful thing, and we need to keep pushing for it. It's maddening. Having to watch an entire new generation of young women make horrible decisions, sabotage themselves, waste their young years, all because of this demonic ideology, is very frustrating. I imagine this is similar to how you must feel watching the hysteria increase in absurdity and prevalence. I've suffered so much at the hands of my mother and her relentless obsession with being a strong, independent feminist, even if it destroyed our family and her children's futures. However, I do recognize that others have been much less fortunate than I was. Although my mother was very troubled, I was blessed with a wonderful father who did everything he could to keep us from falling off the edge my mother was pulling us toward. It's taken me a very long time to fully piece together the events of my childhood and to try and understand why my mother was the way she was. My entire life, I've been told feminism is good, Marxism is good, socialism is good, and yet operating on those ideas, people do so much bad, and then they lie about it to the next generation. It's a strange cult-like adherence to a very dangerous and failed ideology that's most disturbing. Trying to build a stable life and family using a belief system that's inherently disruptive and rebellious is a recipe for disaster. End of the letter. To which I myself responded, God bless you for telling me this much, as it has given me new vigor for the overwhelming job of facing down Marxist feminists. Because you see, my sister was Kate Millett. I had to grow up in the same house with this madwoman who was completely off her rocker through our entire childhood, but I still had great affection for her. She's the person who taught me how to ride a bike. She taught me how to drive. She was my bridesmaid. And to have Paul Kengor, one of the great authorities of communism in America, state in his book that the three people he holds responsible for the dissembling of Western civilization are Karl Marx, Herbert Marcuse, and my sister, Kate Millett. This has been a terrible burden to have to bear.
That's very moving. And it struck me really right in the gut when you said that. I feel very sad that you had to grow up with someone who was really the polar opposite from you. I know you a little bit, Mallory, and you and I both have very similar thoughts about the role of women in society. And it must have been very difficult for you to go through that. But yet I understand too that, you know, she's your sister, and yes, you do love your sister.
Yes.
I have a sister as well, and she's almost a exact same as me. So it's very helpful because I can sit and commiserate with her, you know, against some of these crazy ideas that we call feminism. And somehow we embrace this in American society. And actually we exonerate it. We make it like it's something, you know, holier than thou, when when in reality, it's very godless. It's very self-centered. It's very anti-family, and it's very inception. I mean, I can go on and on, but I'm sure Linda can add to that.
They're the biggest promulgators of abortion in the country. They are the people who took Bernard Nathanson, whom I knew at the time, and put him into the forefront of the women's movement at that time, where he would explain why abortion was a wonderful thing. And he promoted it with his eight lies. He calls it his eight lies because later he repented. And he actually became a convert to the Catholic Church and battled against abortion in the last years of his life. He was extremely repentant. He was absolutely beside himself with horror at what he had. He had overseen the personal abortion of 70,000 babies. And he was in great atonement for that.
Yeah.
Poor dear man.
Ladies, I'd like to ask, just so that listeners can understand, what the difference is between women today who want to or need to, just economically, work outside the home and raise their family, and the feminism that you are discussing, that Kate Millett was discussing. What would be the difference between, you know, because we don't want to say women can't work outside the home, they can't be their own people, but that's not the type of feminism that we're talking about here.
No, well, these people, first of all, are atheistic. And second of all, they are devoted to promoting promiscuity. Promiscuity is extremely important to feminism. If a girl would take my sister's women's studies classes, the two biggest things she would be taught at the onslaught is, number one, be an outlaw, be a damned outlaw. Don't pay any attention to laws of any kind, because they've all been instituted by dead white men. And we all know that white men are corrupt and terrible people. And number two, be a slut and be very proud of it. You have a right to go out and be as promiscuous as you wish and to develop yourself as sexually as a human being, just the way any man does. There should be no difference. My proposal here is that when men ran the world and women ran society, we had a balanced and pretty fantastic society. And the thing of it is that every time I bring this up, women get threatened, and they feel that I'm saying that they shouldn't be working, they shouldn't be doing important things. That's not at all. I don't understand why people would think that running society is any less important than running the world. First of all, the world feeds off of society. Society is what creates the world. When women ran society, which meant that they mostly stayed home and raised children, but they also did other things that they chose to do. Many of them were lawyers or doctors or all kinds of things. If you look at the old movies with Rosalind Russell and Katharine Hepburn and Irene Dunne and some of these, Eve Arden, these women who were featured in these, the early part of the 20th century, in these films, they were strong and powerful women. They wrote books, they were mayors of towns, they were lawyers and judges. But it's just that when women run society, when they run their homes and they're devoted to a wonderful marriage with their children, that's very different from being women who refuse to get married, who are having children out of wedlock, who despise the family and think the family is a dangerous, evil unit, where the man is the bourgeoisie and the woman is the proletariat. These are all very bad, destructive ideas, and it tears a nation apart. Our nation is based on the family. The family is our unit.
It is. And you know, I gave a speech one time, which was interesting. I actually was never invited back to that venue because the subject was about women in business and women's empowerment and all of those things. And I'm a business owner. I'm a businesswoman. All three of us are. But it should not take away from my family or from men. And the thing that I said that was so insulting to many of these women was, as I gave the statistics for how many more women are starting businesses than men, how many more women are completing college degrees than men, I said, you know, they're all celebrating in the room, right? And I said, yeah. I don't think that's something to celebrate. What have we done to our men? We've emasculated our men. And we need our men, and we need our men to be starting businesses and to be being the strong family person that they've always been in society. Yes. And yes, we as women can start businesses and we can get college degrees, but it shouldn't be at the loss of our men, and it shouldn't be at the feminization of our men, so that we emasculate them, as I believe that feminism has done. And you know, they were in shock, because I believe that we need our men. Our children need our men. It's not okay to think that it's okay to have single parent households. Of course, it's necessary at times. Of course it's necessary. But we have a family unit. That's pretty much how God made society, how God made people, to have a family unit, which is why, you know, we have men and women. And so the loss of the maleness, the strength of our men, I feel is very tragic. Ava, what do you think?
Well, I grew up in a Catholic family, and my mother taught me that women are the keeper of the flame of morality.
Exactly.
And now, when my mom told me this, she was trying to explain to me that men are different than women. And she was trying to explain to me that it's kind of a God-given thing. I mean, it's in your DNA that men are more apt to sleep around and be with a lot of women. Yes. It's not that way. Women are not wired that way. And they have to go to women's studies courses to learn how to be promiscuous. Yes. Because we're not wired that way. Women care about feelings, and they're very sensitive creatures. And I know a lot of women listening to this will probably be poo-pooing what I'm saying, but I'm telling you the truth. This is biological truth. So women are also designed to bear children. There's another shocker for you right there. You know, we are made this way. We have a uterus and we have all the equipment to bear children. And my mother told me how precious that was. Yeah. You know, abortion was, and that was a word in my family that was horrific. I mean, you know, I just can't even imagine. But I mean, you look at what goes on today, and our country and our world, actually, I think the whole world is moving in this direction.
We need masculinity and femininity. I don't understand.
Oh, yes.
These are the two most, you know, it's so insane, the issues about which we are arguing. We are arguing actually about whether a man is a man or a woman is a woman. Mm-hmm. Now, this is such utter basic bunk, such nonsense. Well, we have flaming problems. We have unbelievably terrible problems in this country. But we're really arguing with each other about whether men are men and women are women. We need masculinity. We need femininity. And what the feminist movement has robbed us of is both of those things. The women are no longer feminine. The men are no longer masculine. Do you know that I saw an interview on television the other day about how they're now designing uniforms for pregnant women in the armed forces for frontline action, for pregnant women. They're going to put pregnant women on the front lines. Now, all I can say to you from having lived in many third world countries is that this is the most laughable thing. This is the sign that America has gone totally to pot. America is in a state of ruination. We are up against some of the most masculine cultures in the world, the Middle East and the Far East. These are highly masculinized men, and they're going to be confronting pregnant women on the battlefield. This is preposterous. I don't think anything has made me angrier than hearing about this. And that the people in our armed forces are going, well, yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to design uniforms for pregnant women. And people in America are just sitting there, either not paying attention or just like dumb dogs taking this all in as if they have no say in it and as if it makes any sense at all. And this is the kind of devolution we are in the process of. We are crumbling as a society. And all of these highly masculine, extremely aggressive cultures that have made themselves our enemies are drooling over this. They are laughing and drooling. I guarantee you, people, you cannot change biology.
This reflects the complete disdain for life itself. Okay.
Yes.
And when you have no reverence at all for life itself, what does that give you? It gives you the ultimate existential threat, doesn't it? Death.
Yes, barbarism.
Right, exactly.
Well, I think, you know, just the smaller things that we are standing by and watching happen, like taking restrooms and making them unisex, or taking the boys' department and the girls' department out of our department stores. We have less than 2% of our population that is, I don't homosexual, lesbian, binary, whatever you want to call them.
But they're running the show now.
And yet they are running the show for the 98% of the rest of us. And I don't understand why we are allowing that to be. We are being made to feel guilty, and we are made to be, you know, the names that were called racist, homophobe, you know, all of these different names, xenophobe, that they've come up with to make us feel guilty and shut us up. And we need to not shut up, because this country was built on really, you know, by the people, for the people. It should be what is best for the majority of the people. You will never please everybody. Yet we are being made, the 98% are being made to change for the 2%. I don't begrudge them their life and the way that they're living. They can do whatever they want, but don't change my life for that.
No,
exactly.
But you know, the tactics you're describing are all Marxist tactics. They're all in the Saul Alinsky Rules for Radicals book, listed one by one by one by one. All these tactics of calling us names, of shaming everybody, of doing everything that they're doing. These are old hand Marxist methods that have been used to take over one country after another. It's nothing new. It's nothing that's just developed in America. This is these people that came over from Europe in the Frankfurt group, the Frankfurt School, and they have learned one by one by one the tactics that change a country from a free, personal, a country full of 320 million strong individuals, and they're trying to turn it into a slave country of collectivism, where everybody is a slave in the factory, and the little elite group live at the top. You know, the Bidens and the Pelosis and these people all live their little elite lives. This has gone on over and over and over again. And for America to be stupid enough to fall for all these stunts is just crushingly heartbreaking to me.
I will not comply.
I won't either.
No, and I will not either. But the reason, and I mean, this is a whole nother conversation, that people are complying is because we have taken the things that are important, the history of these things, the history of what happened in Marxism, the history of what happened in Nazi Germany, that the history to understand what not to repeat. When you go to Germany, when you go to Europe, you have to, as a student in Germany, I'm sure that you both know this, you have to go to the Hall of Remembrance, I think it is.
Oh,
yes, yes.
Go there, and you have to walk through twice as a student, twice in your in your educational years, and learn from the beginning to the end what happened with Hitler and what happened with Nazi Germany. And the end of that hall is never forget, question authority.
And by the way,
we are not teaching our children this. They are not forgetting it over there. They have it out there where we are tearing down our history every single day in this country.
Yeah, and we have realized that we promulgate. In other words, when how many times have you heard this statement about the far right, and then they talk about Nazi Germany? This is a full-out, blatant lie. Nazi Germany was a fascist, communist state. It was National Socialism. It was German socialism. It was left wing. It was not right wing. It has nothing to do with the right, Nazism. Nazism is a full-blown leftist movement that was purely fascist, and it's the very thing that we are trying to keep out of our country. We are constantly fighting off fascism. Constantly. And there are all these people who have these romances with fascism. That to have America sitting around flirting with socialism like this, flirting her little head off at socialism, is so upsetting to me. They have no idea what they're walking into. It is the loss of your individuality. It is the loss of your sovereignty as a single human being with all the power. You know, I love the way they talk about empowering women. For 50 years now, you guys, they've been empowering women. And what has it resulted in? In the Harvey Weinstein scandal, what it resulted in was all these new little, my favorite priest, Father George Rutler, calls them the chirping fledglings of the new dark ages. These new young women we have processed in America and created, where they say, gee, well, Harvey, he put his hand on my rear end and he put his hand on my derriere and I just froze. I couldn't breathe. I just didn't know what to do. So I just went along with him. This is the empowered American girl after 50 years of Marxist conditioning. When I was growing up in Catholic convent school, our mothers and nuns taught us, hey, the guy does something untoward, you say no, you slap his face, you call a cop, you get the heck out of that room. That's what you do.
Exactly.
That's what we in my generation all did. What is with all these little Jessicas and Judys and Julias fainting because Harvey Weinstein put his hand in the wrong place? I'd have been so out. First of all, I would never have gone to that hotel room. Well, you don't go to a hotel room with a man. That was taught to us in primer number one. And number two, you're so out of that hotel room so fast, the guy can't even see you go. You just become a blur. That's how you behave when men are inappropriate.
Absolutely. And we are destroying the ability for men to flirt with women anymore because of something. And I was talking with a friend of mine who actually works for a division of Fox. And he said at their Christmas party year before last, of course, this year they didn't have one because of COVID, but he said the men were on one side of the room and the women were on the other because the men are so afraid to interact with women anymore. I also went to Catholic school. I grew up in a Catholic family. My parents taught me the same thing. And my opinion is on this Harvey Weinstein and all these other things, the Cuomo things, maybe these men are pigs. I'll give you that. But These women are equally as responsible if they didn't do something at that moment. And I'm sorry, but women have a responsibility as well. And they can either allow things to happen or not. Of course, I acknowledge, having been in law enforcement, I've seen it firsthand. Women are raped and they are hurt and things by violent people. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about these Harvey Weinstein situations. As you, I would never have gone to a hotel room like that. These women were looking for something from Harvey, and maybe they didn't get what they thought that they were going to get. But to come out years later is absolutely wrong. We are in such an awful place in our country right now. And women, in my opinion, and one of the purposes of this show with Ladies of Liberty is to say that women, we do have the power. We do have the power in society to make the change, and we need to take it and stop allowing these people to roll over us and have our little girls use restrooms with men and have, you know, the all of these different things that they're changing so rapidly in our lives that we know in our hearts are wrong. We cannot just stand by and let it happen. And
they've taken half the fun out of life. All the romance, all the flirting, all the subtleties, all the fun, all the signals, the banter, the fun, the clever talk, all of it is, there was so much a part of what was fun in our world. You know, it's heartbreaking. There's
we
no
have
romance
emasculated
anymore.
Our men. We have emasculated our men.
Completely. I can hardly ever see a young man, a guy around 20 or 25 anymore, who's remotely masculine. They're all like little girls. You know, the thing that really kills me is it's the XY chromosomes. You know, when Bruce Jenner went and did what he did and, you know, grew a big mane and blew it out and added some crinolines and some lip gloss, he thinks he's a woman. This man is not a woman. This man is never going to be a woman. If I were in the same room with him, I would still be calling him and he and his. I would no more call him her and she. The thing is, when Bruce Jenner dies, if they dig up his remains 300 years from now and they do DNA testing on it, it's going to come out Caucasian male, period. It doesn't matter how he's traumatized or disfigured his body or things he's done to himself.
My husband was a runner with Bruce Jenner, and he said that Bruce Jenner had more women than any of them, all the rest of them put together. He said he was as male as could be.
Yeah. He was the most important, the most powerful male athlete in the world. And he was reduced to this. And why was that? Because he joined that household where there were five beautiful young women and this beautiful mother, and they were bringing in more loot than some small nations. There were years when this little group of women was making more money than a tiny country in Africa. And Bruce was sitting there on the side. He had been sidelined. If you saw a picture of the Kardashian family, there would be all these beautiful, puffed up, blown out women. And then this little man sort of huddled at the edge over at the side, feeling very unimportant. And Bruce is a big narcissist, and he needed to have his attention. And he was jealous of all the money these women were making, I'm sure. And he went and did this to get attention. I'm positive. I mean, it's heartbreaking. It's really, really heartbreaking. If you're not laughing at the same time, I mean, it's just absurd. And I think it was all about money and fame. You know, he got eclipsed by these women.
Yeah, it takes a very strong father and a very strong mother to raise a strong woman.
Yeah.
And a strong man. And a strong man.
And boys
need that strong man in the house to see that example. And all children, male or female, need to see a loving, working interaction between men and women in order to have healthy relationships themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. You have to give example on you. So men and women, you know, there's the battle of the sexes, and there's this sense in which we're sort of natural enemies, but we're not. We're natural allies. And you know, when I first met my husband, I remember at one point there was some move that was happening, and I said, well, I don't know. He said, well, you have to decide. I said, what do you mean? He said, you're the woman. You're the one who decides the morality of this couple. Don't you understand that? You set all the moral limits. And this was a man 10 years younger than I was. My husband's 10 years younger than I am, telling me something I should have known. I said, what? What? He said, yes, women set the moral limits of society. There's no two ways about it. And this couple is going to have whatever morality you decide, Mallory. And I was thrown by that. I couldn't get over it.
You know, Mallory, that is exactly how it should be. Women are the moral flame keepers in society. So your husband was telling you exactly the right thing.
Don't miss an episode of the Ladies of Liberty Sound Off. Subscribe to the podcast. And for the latest news and inspiration, join us back at AmericaOutloud.com.
Now, never before in our history have we witnessed the level of hatred that is now being waged against our law enforcement. While anarchist groups create havoc and overwhelm our first responders, these same groups and their corporate supporters are calling for the police forces to be shrunk and defunded. What can you and I do to make a difference? How can we stand up for what is right and to show our support? That's what I'm going to tell you about this incredible new platform. It's called ShopToTheRight.com. And it's a new shopping platform that will help you find businesses that align with your values. They feature products made in America. They support veteran-owned businesses as well as our law enforcement community. This is a time when we need to stick together. We need to shop together, and we need to support each other. It's time for you and I to make some noise and stand up to protect our country. And one easy way to do that is to shop and give our money to companies that don't seek to destroy our way of life. So join the fight for liberty. ShopToTheRight.com. Support those American businesses that support law enforcement and veterans.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. This is not a fight of Republican versus Democrat. It's not a fight of rich versus poor, old versus young, man versus woman, gay versus straight. It's not a fight of black lives, blue lives, Hispanic lives, or white lives. This is a battle of good versus evil. It's a fight for the soul of humanity. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Listen to the Ladies of Liberty Sound Off on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Welcome back to Ladies of Liberty. I'd like to introduce our three hosts today. Today we have with us Ava Armstrong. Ava Armstrong is a frequent host and contributor on America Out Loud. She is absolutely one of my very favorite people to work with. She is also a prolific author. You can catch her books on Amazon. And where else can you get your books, Ava?
Yeah, Amazon's the exclusive, so, yep.
Okay. And, you know, just her writing, her thoughts on Twitter are just so much fun. So, Ava, thanks for being here. And today we have a new Lady of Liberty with us that I want to introduce, Mallory Millick. And Mallory Millick is the CFO for three corporations. She has lived, traveled, and studied in many third world countries, so she has lots of experience. She is also the longtime director of the David Horowitz Freedom Center and lives in New York with her husband. And I'm Linda Martinelli. I am a business owner and entrepreneur and also the host right here on America Out Loud of Talking While Married on weeknights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, along with my husband, Dr. Ron Martinelli. So let's get to what we're going to talk about here, which is what I see as the disastrous H.R. 1, also called For the People Act of 2021. Well, I don't know what people this is for, but it's not anybody I can think of. So I want to tell you ladies exactly what I see that H.R. 1 would do should it be voted in. So first of all, it would seize the authority of the states to regulate voter registration and the voting process, which it would force states to implement early voting, automatic voter registration, same-day registration, online voter registration, and no-fault absentee balloting. It would make it much easier for people to commit fraud, as though we didn't have enough in the 2020 election. this will just ratify all of the fraud that they did do in the 2020 and make it much more common and much more pervasive. It will hurt the voter turnout through 15 days of mandated early voting. And that's going to take away from our get out the vote efforts. And it also would raise the cost of campaigns. It will degrade the accuracy of registration lists by requiring states to automatically register all individuals as opposed to citizens. That's a big deal. From state and federal databases, such as the Department of Motor Vehicles, and you know that illegal aliens can get driver's licenses. So they will also get voting ballots, as will people in databases from corrections and welfare offices, federal agencies such as the Social Security Administration and the Department of Labor, the Federal Bureau of Prisons. So all of your prisoners will get ballots, and the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. It will register large numbers of ineligible voters. And I don't know how we're ever going to control our elections. There will be massive voter registration fraud by hackers and cyber criminals because there is online voter registration. It will require that states make available the ability for people to cast their ballots or their votes outside of their assigned precincts, which they cannot do at this time. It will mandate no-fault absentee ballots, which are the tool of choice for vote thieves. It would ban witness signatures or notarization requirements for absentee ballots and force states to accept absentee ballots up to 10 days after Election Day. I mean, this is a recipe for disaster. It will ban state voter ID laws. I live in Texas. In Texas, we have a very rigid ID law, and we do not vote without being certainly identified in several different ways. So there's more, but I think this is plenty for us to start a conversation about. And I think that this is the biggest disaster. And I also believe it goes against the 10th Amendment of the United States Constitution. I don't know how we can even allow this to happen. And on the same note, I don't know how it's not going to happen considering the makeup of our Senate. Ava?
Yeah, another item that HR 1 allows is, or says, is that we cannot clean up voter rolls. So yeah, this is probably, in my opinion, one of the most destructive bills that will ever see the daylight in Congress. And the fact that the Democrats are pushing this, even the title of it, is so ridiculous. I mean, it's the exact opposite of what it is. This will actually just destroy voting integrity, what little we have left of it anyways, in the United States. It will completely destroy it. We'll never have an election again that's fair. Never.
Well, when you look at at what they're pushing, when you look at what they're trying to put across on us, what they're trying to pull off on us, it's so ludicrous. It's so preposterously absurd. If you were going to destroy a country, how would you go about doing it? All you would need to do is this. There is no reason for any of this. What are they trying to do? Why would they want non-citizens to vote? What is their, this whole business about it isn't fair. This is something that the left does all the time. It isn't fair. It isn't fair. Well, what's fair for the American citizen? The taxpaying person who supports this country with their hard work. They work like dogs and pay huge taxes, and they expect to get what they need from their taxes in order to live in a safe and secure sovereign country. The left is determined to rob us individuals of our sovereignty and our nation of its sovereignty. These people are the enemies of sovereignty, and they are blatant about it now. They come out and they propose things that are so absurd, and the American people are just going to nod their heads and go along with this. I simply don't get it. I'm just walking around in such a state of rage and I'm being stunned. I'm stunned by these things. It's as if they're actually saying, well, you know, we're now making a new law where you have to murder your firstborn child, you know, on an altar. And because that's what we're going to decide in the Senate tomorrow. And everybody's just going to go ahead and do that. It's there. Where is this going to stop? And when are the American people going to rise up and say enough of your destroying our wonderful country? You couldn't put these things across in Mexico. They won't allow any of this in Mexico. And Mexico is a chaotic third world country, and they won't allow it there.
Actually, Afghanistan has a better voting system than we do. they dip their finger in purple ink.
Yeah, right. And I've lived in Afghanistan. And I'll tell you, that is barbarism. When you're living in Afghanistan, you're living in the Stone Age. It has not moved past that. And they even have the common sense not to do these things. When are we American people going to put down our feet and say enough of destroying our precious, you know, the entire world is aggressing upon us. When I lived in the Far East, every single solitary human being I met, and I am not exaggerating to make a point here, I am telling you a description of reality. Every single human being I met in Asia from the age of 60 to 90 had America somewhere in their future plans. Every single person in the world is dying to empty into America.
We're destroying ourselves in America. Yes, and that is how it is written that we will be destroyed is from within. And that is exactly what's happening. So if you take just a little microscopic piece of this, in Georgia, we had such problems with the election. So Georgia went in after the election and they made some corrections to their rules about voting, which I was all for. And what Joe Biden said in his speech was, or his, not his speech, but his press conference, he said that it was absolutely disgusting what they did in Georgia. And he's so wrong about that. But these sound bites get into people's heads in America and they think to themselves, wow, Georgia must have done something really bad. What Joe Biden said, one of the things was that, oh, they won't even let people bring somebody a drink in line while they're waiting hours to vote. Well, that is not the case. And that is not the ruling that was made. People were bringing food and drinks to people in line and talking to them about who they vote for. That is not supposed to be happening at polling stations. So they're just making clear what those rules are. It's not that somebody can't bring a bottle of water if they want it, but there's no reason for strangers to approach people in line and bring them food and drink. I mean, just think about that. That the reason they're doing that is to campaign at the polling place, which is strictly forbidden. So this law or this proposal that they have up for vote, which I just can't see that it's not going to pass because of the makeup. And I hope and I pray that some Democrats in the Senate, any Democrats in the Senate, will have the heroic courage to save America and not allow this to happen because of their greed for power, because that is all this is a power grab so that conservatives can never be in office again. And that is exactly what this will do. And that may sound wonderful to Democrats, but it is not wonderful for America. And then we really need to start thinking about where America goes from that point. This is very scary. And I hope it goes to the Supreme Court because the 10th Amendment absolutely forbids what this particular legislation is doing.
Well, you know, I've worked for almost 30 years with David Horowitz, who was one of the founders of the free speech movement in Berkeley and who founded the magazine Ramparts magazine. And he was a red diaper baby who was an avid communist activist all through his youth, as I was. I was under the thrall of my communist sister, Kate Millett, and I was a very active left-wing activist. And David Horowitz and I got together in 1992, and we discovered that we were of the same ilk, that we had been left-wing firebrand activists working for Marxism in America, And then we changed on a dime and we became conservatives and voted for Ronald Reagan. Now, the thing of it is that David Horowitz and I know something very well, to the marrow of our bones, to every moment of our previous experience, that the left wing is a group of lying activists who are trying to destroy the sovereignty of America. They want the one world order thing. They want the one overriding authority of a single dictator running the world. And this is what they definitely want. Now, they're telling you all kinds of lies. David and I tell people, if a Democrat is speaking, they're lying. Now, we know this because we were part of that gang. We were part of the group that took over this country. And we know exactly how it was done through Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, through the Frankfurt School invasion and infiltration of every department and bureau in our country, through all of these left-wing activist women who came out of the most prime universities in America. And they all came from very fine families, and they got into the idea of the revolution. And the weathermen and the Students for the Democratic Society, all these people, Bill Ayers, the guy who helped put Barack Obama into the presidency, these people are vicious liars to the one. And if they're speaking, they're lying, because if it isn't a lie, it isn't worth their telling, because all they're trying to do is take your country, your culture, and your freedom away from you. And I am telling you straight out, their main motive is to destroy your freedom. They want complete control of the American citizens. And people have got to stop listening to the lies. Nancy Pelosi and all of these women, Susan Rice and Loretta Lynch and all of these, Hillary Clinton, Jill Biden, these women are liars. And everything they're saying to you is a lie. And it isn't that they are hoodwinked. They know they're lying. Joe Biden knows he's lying. They are not inadvertently lying. They are deliberately lying to the American people. And I am at the point where I'm almost hysterical over this. I can't take one more minute of it, because I was one of these people. And now I'm watching them really take over our country, when I've learned that it's the wrong way completely. It is the most disastrous thing. And not only for America is it a disaster, but it's a disaster for the world, because the world looks to America to be America. They require us to be this bastion of freedom and of democracy and of truth and of honor and decency. And the fact that these people are sardonically and just viciously trying to take our freedom away from us. This is a very serious thing the American people need to understand. We've got to get rid of these people. Why do you think that Washington has become an armed camp? Is this normal for America? Stand back and look. There are barbed wires and fences around the White House now with troops guarding it. Why is that? What is wrong? And it ought to tell you that something.
Yeah, well, my hair is on fire. I can tell you about that, because I don't know how we remedy this now. We have been put into a corner where we can no longer exercise our free speech, or we get suspended on, you know, social media. We can no longer get accurate news, because all the news sources are now in the same Marxist camp. We can no longer protest, because if we're 6 miles from the Capitol in DC, the FBI can arrest us and take away our guns. So every freedom that we've had is being infringed upon. So how do we fight it?
See, and I don't think people understand that the reason for the Second Amendment, the First Amendment being freedom of speech, the Second Amendment, freedom to bear arms, the purpose that the founders had and making it so that we could bear arms was so that we could fight our government. The whole point was to keep back tyrants and dictators. And, you know, as
right.
David Horowitz says, a liberal is every liberal is a totalitarian screaming to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going on. You know, this is wrong is right, up is down, in is out. They've sold the lie to America. They've managed to sell the lie to America.
What has to happen, because we, the people, should have the power, but we don't have the power. Well, we did have the power during the election, and we made the wrong choice. I mean, if you believe that the election was free and fair, which I happen to not believe.
I don't believe that for a minute.
We made the wrong choice. But either way, here's where we are today. So Ava's question is the most powerful question. What do we do? And I, for one, feel pretty helpless just watching all this happen. We as conservatives are not the people that tend to get out and protest. And you see what happened when we did. I mean, for the last year and more, we've had the liberals protesting, burning, looting, doing all kinds of things, and they did nothing. But when the conservatives protested, it was a big deal and the most horrific thing that's ever happened to our country.
Right.
We need to be contacting the Democrats and the Republican rhinos like Mitt Romney and say, no, we won't stand for this. Do not vote for this. I don't know if our voice is going to make a difference. I'm extremely worried about that, because if we become in a situation where HR 1 passes, then I don't know, in my mind,
I hope that
Texas secedes at that point. I don't want to see that happen, but I have never seen the United States of America being destroyed from within as rapidly in 1 or 2 months as it has people have ever tried since its inception. I mean, we are destroying our country so fast. I don't know what to say about people that want to destroy America. To what end? Why?
Yeah. Why do you want to destroy the one country that everyone in the world is dying to get into? Nobody's rushing to get into Venezuela or Cuba. You don't have great lines standing outside of Cuba trying to be part of it. But, you know, they have spent the last 50 years taking over our media, our colleges and universities, all of our youth, Broadway, Hollywood. They've taken over everything. Just as they plotted at those meetings I attended of the National Organization of Women in 1969, they plotted to infiltrate all of the judiciaries, all of the legislatures, all of the executive branches, to infiltrate the media, to infiltrate all of the colleges and universities and high schools. They've gone and done it. They've quietly infiltrated everything and spread their communist poison, venom, every place they could. And now we've got our youngsters coming up to us. A 19-year-old will come up to you and start spouting all of this Marxist propaganda to the point where you're just, you know, your eyes are popping out of your head, you know. And they went to some American high school where they're being taught all of these things. That they're going to take your children at the age of 10 and 11 and without your consent put puberty blockers in your children because your boy thinks he's a girl, or your girl is a tomboy right now and she's climbing trees a lot and wants to be a boy. These are normal phases that people go through in childhood. You don't interfere with their chemistry and turn the little boys into little dressmaking girls, dress wearing girls. And I mean, it's just, I can't get over it.
They're taking our parenting roles right away from us, and they're making the teachers be the parents. And that is, I mean, that is such an objection to me. I would never allow my children to be in a school like that. And yet many, many, many good parents in this country are doing that. Why? Because they're not paying attention.
Yeah. Because, you know, the thing of it is that we conservatives, we tend to fight decently. We believe in the Marcus of Queensbury rules, you know. You've got to follow the rules and be decent and fight decently. Well, we're up against people who are liars, who do not fight decently. They infiltrated that protest on January 6th. They put on Trump paraphernalia, Trump hats and Trump shirts, and they, you know, we're not, the American armies and Air Force and that, we don't go put on the uniform of the enemy and then pretend we're the enemy and then get in so we can do damage. This is what really third-rate countries and societies that have no compunctions and no standards do. But we're decent people, and the left is not decent. They will do anything. The ends justify the means for these people. They've got this utopian concept they're trying to sell, and it doesn't matter if they murder your child or turn your son into a girl or your daughter into a boy. It doesn't matter what they do, as long as they
it's
get
divide,
their end.
Divide and conquer.
Divide and conquer.
And the Absolutely. Founders warned us about the tyranny within, and we didn't listen.
Yep.
Well,
and they knew about it.
Yes, and they said that, you know, we have a republic and we have a democracy if the people can keep it. And we are just on the road to destroying the America that our founders created for us. And we just need to be aware, and we need to get out and say something. And even more importantly, when you have the chance to vote, you need to vote. I know in Texas, there is a vote coming up in May to defund our police. And I will be there because we, you know, saying, no, we're not defunding the police. So everybody needs to pay attention to what they're voting for. And it's not the rhetoric that the candidate says, and it's not how cute the candidate is. You really need to get into what they actually vote for, what they actually believe, because the rhetoric that they say for you to vote for them is completely different than what they'll do. You need to look into their history,
yes,
and what they're doing.
Liars, every one of them. That's their method, lying.
And without a free press, it's really difficult to ferret out the truth, I think.
Yeah, really tough.
And there are places like America Out Loud and like a number of other places that people can go and get real information and mm-hmm. not get the, you know, the false information, the misleading and biased information that's being put out by the mainstream media, which is all owned by leftists. And, you know, I mean, it's putting us at a disadvantage, but I live in the heartland of the country. I used to live on the left coast in California. I have to tell you, ladies, that in the heartland of America, there are so many decent young people, so many
right.
decent, God-fearing, conservative young people. And there is hope. There is hope, but we have to spread that to the other areas, because even in Texas, the big cities, the Austins, the Dallas, the Houstons, they're turning blue, and people are moving here left and right, and they're mm-hmm. they're bringing their politics with them, and they're trying to turn this state. And if they do, I wouldn't know where else to go. So, you know, HR1 is a disaster for America, and we need to take action. Call your congressman, call your senator. Do whatever you need to do to at least get the word out that this is not okay with the American people, because if this passes, we just have a much longer road to be able to save our country.
Well, ladies, that's a wrap. One more step for womankind.